Congressman Chris Gibson from New York's 19th District is with us. Chris, you've been here many, many times, and we very much appreciate it. And we first began to hear from you the idea that you might want to look at a gubernatorial race in New York State. And now you've moved one step closer to that. What's that?
Well, thank you, Alan. Good to be back with you. Indeed, our family, after the past year, traveling to over 40 counties, and with a strong response that actually transcends party lines, we believe we need to take it to the next level, which is to file an exploratory committee to allow us to begin to raise resources. We're eyes wide open. The challenge here in New York State is very significant. You know, the path to the top here is very steep and narrow, and the current incumbent has $16 million in his war chest now and growing. That was as of 31 December. So we felt the need that we needed to file this exploratory committee so we can begin to raise money, to raise resources necessary to reach out. And so that's what we've done.
Well, $16 million, a lot of money. And yet Andrew Cuomo has been through some very rough times lately. He recently was told that he was not going to be indicted. And I think he may have to be watching who he takes money from these days.
Well, it's not just the money, too. I mean, when I mentioned a reality-based assessment, the fact of the matter is there's just shy of 20 million people in New York State. There are about 10 million are of voting age, of which 7 million are registered. And of the 7 million registered, there's a over 2-to-1 advantage for the Democratic Party. So, look, and then, you know, I do have folks say, well, look, in 94, Pataki won. But let's also recognize that the Democrat to Republican enrollment is 400,000 voters more to the Democrats since 1994. So the analogy of 94 to 2018 isn't really accurate. It's actually steeper and the path is more narrow than it was in 94. Doesn't mean it can't be done. What it does mean is that we need to have new leadership that brings forward a platform that will rally people. I do think there is one that will get the base out for the Republican and conservatives, also win over independents and a fair number of disaffected Democrats.
So what would some of those platform ideas
Well, it's four.
Be?
It's 4 points, Alan. I think that the first of which is the economy and a recognition, again, this reality-based approach, which a soldier would take, right? I mean, one of the reasons why, you know, I've had a lot of discussion, there's been a lot of discussion about my position on the environment. Well, look, soldiers are reality-based. The Joint Chiefs of Staff all acknowledge climate change. And it's really simple. It's because, I mean, and I wish it weren't so, but it is so. Bullets rip through flesh. So you have to start from a vantage point of science and physics. And, you know, it's the same with my approach to everything in life. And that's why when you look at the political challenge in New York, it's very reality-based. And the same with the policy. And so with the economy, I would tell you that, you know, we're all watching commercials on our TV. It's telling us that all is good in the state, in the universe, when it comes to the state of the economy. But deep down, as I've traveled throughout the state, there's a feeling that, well, they just don't believe that, you know. And here's the reason why. It is true that our unemployment rates are lower, and we're thankful for that. But, you know, the folks who have jobs feel less secure in them, number one. They wonder if maybe they'll still have a job in a few months. And the second piece, and this is actually a national phenomenon, and it's not a good one, is the fact that we really haven't had rising wages in, well, over 15 years. So, you know, there's a real skepticism when we watch these commercials. In fact, when you couple those commercials with the governor's state of the state delivery, you almost feel like you're watching the Hunger Games. I mean, you have the governor there. He's on a podium. He's made it 10 feet higher. He shows a 10-minute video before he speaks of what's the video? Well, people congratulating Governor Cuomo. And, you know, he's not delivering it in the people's chamber, which is really where the governor should be delivering the speech, in the assembly's chamber. And the reason is it may seem like sort of perhaps symbolic, but it's more than that. It's because the executive really is a servant of the people. And that is a symbol of the servanthood of the governor, is the fact that the governor humbles him or herself to go before the people's representatives to give this presentation. So, you know, I think on the economy, we need to have real, we can no longer lead in all the wrong categories. We can't be 50th out of 50 when it comes to tax, local and state tax burden. We have to do better on that. And so my team is looking at this extensively. I do think there are things that we can do to bring that tax burden down. This will be important to keep in our seniors. There are many seniors who I've talked with that really want to age in place. They want to age in place. They want to stay in New York. And by the way, when they do, that means their families often stay. Not always. But, you know, but we have a series of things. We need more senior housing. We need transportation to help them when they're there. We need grocery stores that also have pharmacies. There's a number of things that need to happen, but also their property taxes. You know, that's another issue. I've talked to seniors who actually are paying more now. Their house is paid off, maybe paid off a decade ago. They're paying more now a year than they were in their first month when they paid a mortgage payment. So I do think there are things that we can do to help on that score. But the first point is the economy. The second is faith in Albany, faith in our ability to be self-governing. We need a program of reforms, true reforms. And that needs to start with the governor. The governor should, I believe, self-impose term limits, ask the legislature to send that to be codified. Then I think that there's a stronger position then for the governor to work with the legislature on legislative term limits.
What makes you think, I'm sorry, Chris, that the legislature will ever do what a governor asks them in terms of term limits or anything else that would make their power less?
Well, I think, well, certainly that is an operative question, right? But I think what I've seen in life is that when the leader goes first, you could ask the same question of in combat. You know, how did you ever get your paratroopers to move out under fire? Well, you know, I went first and said, you know, we're going to the objective, follow me. So, and, you know, humans, they want to be part of something, you know, in that way. And if they can be inspired in a place, you know, Kennedy, when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, that truly was elevating. And people felt connected to that. And oftentimes in our country's history, when we have been faced with a significant challenge, we have rallied to that challenge. But you need leadership to go first. It just doesn't happen. You know, Governor Cuomo, for example, brings up, well, he wants to limit outside income for legislators. That's a fair, I mean, we can talk about that, right? It's a fair point to raise.
Sure.
We should talk about what that would look like. But it's hard to take from a guy who took a $700,000 check for a book as an advance. I mean, it's just hard to take. I mean, he wants somebody to do something that he wouldn't do himself. You know, not for nothing, but, you know, I published a book too. I waived the royalties to my book. Now, I haven't sold many copies of it. I get that. It was a textbook on civil-military relations and national security decision-making. But the fact of the matter is in writing, I waived the royalties to my book.
Because, but it's not the first time you've done something like that. I mean, I know that you don't take one of your pensions because you don't think
that's correct. That's right. I mean, I didn't feel it was right that our family at once draw a paycheck from the American people to represent in the United States Congress and then get another check. Look, I happen to be, and thanks be to God, and good, I'm okay. You know, I mean, I came through the combat tours. I'm okay. I didn't feel I should be collecting a pension check and a check to be representing. So we voluntarily give that pension check back to the taxpayer, again, to lead by example. So I think we need a series of reforms. I do want to say that the Assembly Republicans, what they have brought forward, what they call the spirit of 76, which really empowers rank and file members, I think that that's important, too. Because, you know, if you have somebody who's giving a voice to wherever they're from, they could be a Republican or a Democrat, you know, they should have an opportunity to have their people's voices matter. And if you can get a majority of people to co-sponsor a piece of legislation, you ought to be able to get a hearing and even a vote. Even if the vote doesn't pass, you should be able to get a hearing. That's part of this, including term limits for leaders in the legislature. The whole point is empowering people through their voice of their representative. Look, there's more to talk about, Alan, but I do believe that there is a platform that we can rally people and we can actually change the trajectory of our state.
Representative Chris Gibson of the New York 19th District, now getting an exploratory committee together in order to look at a potential run for governor of New York State. Chris, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Alan.